guys, it's Renee from Throwing Down with Renee and Misha. On this podcast, we were joined with a special call-in from Busted Open's own Dave LaGreca. We broke down all things GCW. Also, Misha and I got into Jon Moxley's return to AEW, had an incredible promo, and then we also talked about a little bit of the Bully Ray controversy. Also, joined by Vanessa Demopoulos, who made her UFC debut and victory. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome on the host of Busted Open, the one, the only, Dave LaGreca.
I was kind of hoping to sneak under the radar as just Dave in New Jersey, but I love the introduction. Thank you very much.
We're on to you now,
Dave. Dave, how are you doing, you lovely man?
I'm good. I was really excited about GCW last night, so I know I don't call in a bunch. But after watching that show,
I like when you call in. I like it a lot.
Well, thank you very much. I love when you call in. Misha's welcome to call in anytime, but she just chooses not to. But that's a story for another day.
What did you like?
That show last night was incredible. So
it was so fun. I was watching from home, and yeah, it was just. I mean, that's the epitome of a wrestling show. I mean, the crowd at Hammerstein Ballroom was, were you at the show?
I wasn't. I watched on TV. I watched on Fight. It was one of those shows that made me regret not going.
Yeah.
And it was crazy because, I was with Thunder Rosa on Saturday and she actually stayed over our home Saturday night into Sunday. And she was a surprise on the pre-show on Sunday, which was made me kick myself even more that I didn't go. But
she didn't smart you up to that? What the hell?
Listen, I'm not going to say if she did or she didn't. I mean, okay. Don't forget, okay. I had breakfast with Mark Henry
the night that he
debuted at Double or Nothing. He didn't even clue me in that he was going to do that. So,
well,
you know.
Mark doesn't really want to talk shop over a meal. It's a whole different ball game when you're eating with Mark.
That is true, but What's that?
What stood out to you from GCW? What were like the highlight moments? I feel like there's several things that I could get into, but what did you love?
Well, I mean, and I was talking about this with Sam Roberts this morning on Busted Open. You know, I was watching Mox and Homicide in the Ace Arena, you know, 15 years ago in front of 50 people. So yeah. For me to watch that in a sold out crowd at Hammerstein and with everything that Mox has gone through, you know, mm-hmm. and he mentioned it in his promo on Wednesday on Dynamite, you know, he has freedom. So to be able to walk out there as the GCW champion and to be signed to a major company and to be able to still do what he was doing on Saturday night, I met your husband briefly Saturday night at Northeast Wrestling. And uh-huh. then to see for him to open up the show on Saturday at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center, you know, think about the week that was. Makes the return to Dynamite, cuts that amazing promo on Wednesday, right? Mm-hmm. You know, on Friday, Seth Rollins mentions him in a promo on SmackDown. Friday
Very
night, he's on
titillating.
Rampage wrestling Ethan Page. Saturday, he's at Northeast Wrestling, wrestling at a sold-out Mid-Hudson Civic Center. Sunday night, wrestling Homicide for a GCW show in front of a sold-out crowd at Hammerstein Ballroom. I mean, that's how you make a return. So
that's how you do it. And listen, I'm fully aware because I've been bouncing a baby on my hip this whole time while the man's out making towns. No, it's so cool to see. I love getting to see him. Like, even him popping up to do the Northeast show. I mean, I know that was such a last-minute thing, but he was like, well, shit, I'm already up here. Like, yeah, let's go do it. The man loves wrestling. He loves wrestling. He loves to wrestle. He loves the business. So it's really nice to be able to see him out there doing the things that he wants to do. And quick little side note, LaGreca, you are the absolute best. And I don't want you being dragged into any of this Bully Ray drama. But that's for another segment when you're not on the line. So don't worry about it.
Well, right. I mean, thank you for, you know, and listen, you know, it is what it is. Everybody has an opinion. And I guess in some ways, you know, we're paid to have our opinions and, when you say certain things, it's, you're opening yourself up to criticism. And I guess that's what we do as people of the media. You know, he spoke his mind, I spoke mine, and I think everybody, you know, has been doing that over the course of the last few days, which is, you know, everybody's right. And, you know, it is what it is. And, it's just, I want to make the point that it was just good to see him back. Good to see him healthy and happy. Good to see him doing what he loves to do. And I'm sure he's going to be an amazing father. And I know you say he's an amazing husband. So
he's
at the
best.
End of the day, that's all that really matters to anybody is your family and your loved ones and your friends. So
certainly
the only opinion that matters are the people that care about you the most. So that's
absolutely. Absolutely. You know what? I hate that we're even talking about it. Cause like, who cares? But it is what it is. It's all been, you know, kind of thrusted out in front of everybody. So we will talk about it. But, you know, am I talking about it at home under my own roof? No, I'm not. But one other thing I want to talk about with GCW, two things actually. One, Zack Ryder is sorry. Oh my God, Matt Cardona. Wow. The death match king. Matt Cardona, he's crushing it right now. It makes me so happy seeing what he does with this run that he's on. And my last thing is with the Briscoes coming out, not knowing who their opponent was going to be. Am I a total mark that I was like, is it going to be the Hardy Boys? I legit for a second was like, is Jeff cleared? Is that going to happen? I wasn't sure.
But you know what? And a lot of people thought it was going to be FTR.
Like a lot of people thought it was FTR. Yes, of course.
But what a way to end it with Nick Gage addressing that crowd. And it was just a phenomenal evening of wrestling on last night. So it was a special
great.
Show, special moment for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dave, thanks so much for calling in. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. And yeah, we got to bounce out of here.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Misha, thanks for all the great questions.
Hey. I'm just sitting tight right here. I'm going to save it for the next time I call in your show and surprise you.
Right, really quick, Misha, I can't believe you won't even give me a comp to go see one of your fights. I can't even get a comp ticket.
Oh, the tickets aren't that expensive.
You'll get the family and friends discount. Maybe.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave. My husband has returned to professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Yay. It's so exciting. It's so funny because, like, I definitely get, like, moments where, like, you know, when you're – I mean, I'm with him all the time. He's my husband. He's the father of my child. And I see him in those lights all the time where I'm like, can you, like, clean up after yourself or, like, flush the toilet after you've gone pee? These little things that add up. But then
he puts the toilet seat down. I still am working on that one with Johnny. I don't know how long it takes to train these guys, but come on now.
I could dedicate an entire show to this discussion, to be completely honest, because it is like the bane of my existence.
I'm in a hotel room right now, and I kid you not, in the middle of the night when I get up to go pee, I check to make sure that the toilet seat's down so I don't fall in the toilet bowl. I'm like, what the hell? Like, he's got me trained. This is not how it's supposed to work.
It's not fair. The worst is when the dribble gets on your feet. Like, the middle of the night, I'm like, did I just step in a little bit of pee? Like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Anyways, the wrestling legend himself has returned to AEW. He was also at GCW.
He
was at a Northeast
good.
Wrestling. He looked so good. But anyway, so the point I was trying to make is that, like, I see him out here doing his thing, and then, like, his, like, music hits. I honestly got, like, a little teary-eyed. I was like, look at him. He's just, like, he's just doing
that.
His thing, and he's so damn good at it, and he loves it, and I love seeing him do that, and I wasn't sure what he was going to say or what he was going to do. You know, we had kind of, like, talked about it at home before he left to go on the road. I'm like, what are you going to say? And he's like, I don't know. And this is what he had to say.
The cloud, this demon, he asked me, he says, do you really think you were going to make it out? The nerve of you, did you really think you were going to make it out? And I woke up before I had a chance to answer him. Nobody gets through life unscathed. We all carry scars. I have more scars on my body than the average person, but those aren't important. The important ones are the scars we carry on the inside that are harder to see. And sometimes we try and cover up these scars. Sometimes we try to pretend these scars aren't there. But those are the scars that we should be proud of. Those are the scars that tell our story. Those are the scars that give us strength. Those are the scars that make us the people we are.
It definitely got me like a bit emotional, like watching him do this, talking about the things. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that went on was obviously incredibly personal. And, you know, it's not just people know what happened. They don't really know anything about it. So just to see him out there and to see him doing his thing and to know how much the words that he had to say touched so many people. I mean, my Twitter was blowing up with so many people that could just relate, that have been where he's been or have been where I've been. It was really, really cool to see that and to kind of have that vulnerability. And the guy, he's a special guy. He's got such a way with words. He's obviously an incredible wrestler, but he's an incredible person, an incredible man. I could not be more proud of him. I could not love this guy anymore. So to see him out there doing that was so great. And now to just hate even having to talk about this because it's stupid and it's annoying and I don't even want to pay it any more attention. I honestly, the whole thing, this Bully Ray thing, you know, I saw it all over my Twitter and I was like, do I even address this? But it's like that thing, you know, people can talk shit about me all day long and whatever. It's fine. You talk shit about my husband. You talk shit about my family. That's when it becomes more personal to me. And that bothers me more. It also bothers me because Bully is somebody who I've always really enjoyed. I've always really liked Bully. I always thought I had a good relationship with him, despite other people not having a good relationship with him or him having burned bridges other places and leaving a bad taste in other people's mouths. I've never had that situation with him. So now to be on that receiving end of it sucks. I've not talked to him since this has all gone down. He certainly has my phone number. He certainly has my husband's phone number. But like LaGreca said, he was out at Northeast Wrestling over the weekend. I know Bully was with him. So yeah, I mean, it sucks for, so just for
so,
context,
yeah,
for anyone
happened.
That doesn't
yeah.
know. Yeah. Sorry. I'm like in my own world right now. Bully said that he thought that John should have apologized to the audience and apologized. You know, he doesn't necessarily have to apologize to the boys in the back and the girls in the back for the time that was taken off, but people that had bought in tickets and wanted to see John Moxley and blah, blah, blah. And there could not be a more bullshit trash take than that.
Let me get this straight. He wanted John to apologize for taking necessary time off. Like, yes. It's not like he was just, like, on a family vacation or,
yeah.
like, some
Dude
jam.
Wasn't
like,
on
he's
a vacation.
Bettering himself.
Yes.
He's getting
yeah.
healthy.
Yeah, he wanted John to apologize to the fans. And it's like, yeah, that he took time off to take care of himself. Him being there and having longevity in this business is plenty. You know, the guy's already put his body through the ringer. With the job that he does, with the style of wrestling that he works. And, you know, he loves wrestling. He loves wrestling. He loves this business. So for Bully to think that he also needs to apologize to people on top of that, honestly, my first reaction to it was like, I just thought it was like some shock jock shit where I was like, he doesn't actually think that. There's no way he actually believes that John needs to apologize for taking time off to better himself. But which, by the way, 3 months is also nothing in the scope of what wrestling is and also in the scope of his life. 3 months is nothing. So for him to go and do the things that he needed to do for himself, for our family, for our daughter, that's for us. That yeah. is for us. It's not for anybody else. And I could not be more proud of him for doing that. In a business that is so notorious, with addiction issues, we've seen the untimely passing of so many wrestlers. It has been a thing that has affected the business for such a long time. It's a stigma that comes with the business. So the fact that John is one of those guys in the spot that he's in and he's going against the grain and doing the things that he needs to do, I think speaks volumes to the fans. Not even just the fans, the people inside the business, to the other boys in the back, to the girls in the back that might be going through a similar thing. Happens to so many people. It's unfortunately so common. So he went and did what he had to do, and no
Absolutely.
Apology is necessary.
Yeah, no, none needed whatsoever. Was Bully, is there any chance he's unaware of the reason that John took a few months off? I mean,
no.
is that?
No, yeah. It was public. Yeah, it was so, public knowledge of why. And that's the thing. Like, there's part of me, it's like, listen, I know, no, people don't know the full story. They don't know what's going on. So, like, you know, you can kind of plead ignorance to that to a certain degree, and that's fine. But, like, also, he's just not – now Bully has not apologized for it. And I don't even need Bully to apologize for it. And I assure you John could give a shit. But, yeah, I just I don't know. It's annoying to even be talking about it at this point. The fact that John is back in wrestling and he looks like a million bucks and he feels good, and for us all to see this massive change in him, is fantastic.
What would be the book? So I still struggle sometimes to understand the entire dichotomy and dynamic of the pro wrestling world, but would there be any motivation for Bully to say something like that?
No.
I mean, like, any business purpose, any kind of.
There's no payoff.
I'm literally scratching my head. I just realized this.
Yeah.
I was like literally scratching my head right now. Like,
no, I know.
I'm
where it's
so
like,
confused.
Yeah, like, this isn't an angle. Like, this isn't going to, they're not going to have a payoff of like a match or anything like that. So, no, absolutely not.
I mean, I move
not.
Enough
it just
in
seems
the
like
realm
a really
where,
shitty take.
Yeah, I move enough in the realm where shit talking sometimes are, you know, you got to give people a couple, you know, your account. If you don't understand, maybe, okay, could ignorance be, if it's not, could a payoff be, you know, could this be kind of a tactic, an angle? But when it's not any of those things, then it's just a stupid ass statement.
Yeah, you're just being
like
a shithead.
That.
Yeah, yeah. It's just
like,
he's dumb.
Go away. I don't even know who Bully is, he can kick rocks.
Take that. Has there ever been an instance where, like, because, yeah, I mean, honestly, like I said at the beginning, it's like, do I even say anything? Do I even want
to
get into this? Have you been in a situation?
So I know what his face looks like. That way, if I ever do run into him, I'm not nice to him.
He's on the
until he
do
apologizes.
Not talk to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you had to stand up for a significant other in any situation? Not that it's standing up. I mean, John can obviously fight his own battles. And honestly, John didn't even know about this until I said something to him at like 10 p.m. that day. Like, he had not a clue what was going on. So, anyways, have you been in a situation like this at all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my ex and I grew up in the public eye. And for whatever reason, he wanted our relationship to be front and center of everything that we did, which I disagreed with. I much prefer the way that Johnny and I choose to do this, where it's just like, if and when it feels right, it's good. You know, we will put it out there. We're not hiding our relationship, but it's not the focal point of what each one of us does in our social media life. And we're cool with that. But the whole rivalry with Rhonda really got kicked off because of me defending my ex.
Oh,
that's really what it boiled down to. So, like, this actually, maybe the storyline of women's MMA getting eyeballs on it has to do with me defending my ex. And I'm the same way as you. It's kind of like, if people talk shit at me, like, I can kind of have fun with it, or I can laugh it off, or I can. But I get pissed. You know, I get way more upset when the mama bear in me comes out.
Yeah,
people
for
talk
sure.
Shit
claws
about the
are
ones
out.
That you love. And it's really, I have had to temper myself. Even now, people talking, you know, talking shit about Johnny or whatever. You know, he doesn't fight in the UFC or this or that. Like, I mean, yeah, okay, but we're good with that. We're happy with that.
Yeah.
He can support me. It's not a competition. You know, we're on the same team. So
yes,
it's funny how people still have this stereotype that the man has to be in this role or above the woman
and
somehow.
Yes.
And it can't work the other way. And you can never have a relationship that doesn't fit in this box, and our relationship is so far outside the box, I think people can't recognize it. And so basically what I've learned is just to be one, either ignore it, right, which is not always the funnest thing to do, or be passive aggressive, you know.
Oh, I love a good passive aggressive.
All right. Oh, for sure. Just a little passive aggressive in those comments. Or just, if you really need to, just like shit directly on that person, like nothing to do with what they've said about your significant other, but just something that's like, you know, well,
good personal hit.
Yeah, like just a good personal hit. Like you suck or suck a big one or whatever.
You
know what I mean?
Something.
You have cankles or don't forget your deodorant next time or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, your breath stinks. You ever brush your teeth?
You know?
The list could go on.
Just a good little personal diss.
Yeah.
But that's
just like
people can get upset. Yeah, people can get upset if and especially the man, like if their wife comes running to their defense, sometimes they're like, no, just, you know, let me fight my battles or whatever. And that's kind of a thing, right?
Yeah, 100%. That is definitely the thing where, like, oh my God, like, John, Yeah, John would not want me talking on his behalf really about anything, because obviously he can fight his own battles and does not need me to do that. But at the same time, I'm like, I have a voice and I have a platform as well. So yeah. I can also sound off here or on any, you know, another platform, whatever should need be. But anyways, just really caught me off guard, because I feel like John is so beloved amongst the wrestling community and amongst other wrestlers and stuff. So it was a little shocking to hear that opinion on it. It was just a big womp womp for me. So anyways, now we don't have to ever talk about it ever again. Thank God.
Good.
Sick of talking about it. Oh my God.
Hey everybody, this is Lindsay Rhodes, and with the NFL playoffs underway, what better time than now to check out my podcast, The NFL Rhodes Show. We're going to break down the biggest games, key players, every angle in between, with guests that go past the low-hanging fruit and get to what you really need to know. We'll have new episodes every Monday and Thursday, all the way through Super Bowl 56 in my hometown of Los Angeles. So please subscribe today wherever you stream your podcasts, or listen on the SXM app, included with most subscriptions.
Vanessa DeMopoulos is becoming like the Cardi B of UFC. Is this? Oh,
you better believe I'm the Cardi B of MMA.
There she is.
Oh, here she is. Yes. How are you doing?
I'm so awesome. How are you guys?
Great. Is this like a wallpaper in the background?
No.
That looks like stone.
This is the bed, and then that is the bath, and yeah, that's like a stone wall. I'm in Tulum. And like,
oh my gosh, girl, Tulum. And did I just see you in your little underoos there? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm wearing shorts.
How are you feeling?
I'm comfy in shorts. Okay.
Whatever works, whatever makes you comfortable. Let those legs breathe, girlfriend. How are you feeling after UFC 270? I feel like everybody's clamoring for a little Vanessa DeMopoulos love right now. You just kind of stole everyone's hearts.
Oh my gosh, it's so cool to hear that. You know, I feel awesome, and now I get to talk to you guys. Like,
yes.
I couldn't be on any higher of a cloud 9, 10, 25,000. Like, that's the cloud I'm on. 25,000.
Walk us through some of the fight. You know, just the moment where, I mean, it seemed like you got knocked down and then you came in there with that arm bar. What was going through your head?
Honestly, I was just in the moment whenever each moment happened. You know, like I worked a lot on my mental game, my mental training, and just making sure that I stayed present with everything, you know? So it's like, I remember the first right hand that she threw at me, and like it cracked, and like the whole crowd went, ooh. And sometimes when the crowd does that, you're like, no, but like, it wasn't like nothing happened. Like,
yeah. Everyone calm down.
Yeah, everyone calm down. No, that one got me. That one didn't get me. And then, the one that I guess knocked me down, I didn't feel it. Like, I didn't feel it. I didn't see it. So there was nothing to react to, you know, like, I just like, one minute I'm on my feet, I'm fighting. The next second, I literally have an overhook and she's in my full guard. And I'm like, how'd I get here? Did I take her down? Did she take me down? Whatever. Like, jiu-jitsu.
I love it. I've had that happen to me before as well, so I can definitely identify with that. But perhaps one of the most impressive things, besides how amazing you recovered and that armbar was phenomenal, picture perfect by the way, was your adorable post-fight speech with Joe Rogan. I mean, had you even had a chance to think about that prior to the fight, that you were going to get interviewed by Joe Rogan? Because it seemed like it was just so in the moment, and you were like, oh my God, here I am standing next to Joe Rogan. I mean, it's how it came across. Like, had it even crossed your mind that was gonna happen?
Okay, so I was so looking forward to getting interviewed by Joe Rogan, right? Like, obviously so looking forward to it. And I was like, man, like, this is so cool. I'm on a pay-per-view card, like, I get to get interviewed by Joe Rogan when I win, you know? And like, I just like kept talking about that to myself, but I think like he just came up behind me, you know? And like, right. I saw it,
they do that.
Sneaky.
I dabbed him up so hard, though. It was such a homie dab that I was like, yeah, like, it was so freaking cool. It was such a cool moment.
So right before you hopped on, we were playing the clip, I believe it was from your post-fight presser, talking about your background and exotic dancing and how you had to step away for your fight camp and all that. How much, like, give us a little more information on how that background helps so much inside an octagon.
You know, people, they really underestimate the industry, you know, the exotic entertainment industry. I mean, you're talking like we are physical specimens to the girls who are truly pole dancing. You know, like, I'm an artist, I am a gymnast, I am an aerialist. And not only am I doing these tricks, like, some of these poles are 2-3 stories high, you know? So it's like, I'm hanging on by one limb in my underwear, mind you. You know, but it's like in front of crowds of people, like, it, you couldn't be more bold. And it's like, if I'm a little bit too sweaty, then I'm falling to my doom, you know? And like, I'm doing crazy tricks, like suicide drops and flips and like all of these cool things. So it's like, I'm so strong because of my pole dancing background, you know? And I'm very like versatile and like super flexible, and I have to think really freaking fast, because like if you're like switching and transitioning, like, you have to know where the pole is and where your body is without physically looking or even thinking about it, you know? So there's like a lot, there's so much that's incorporated from pole dancing that transfers into fighting, you know, that's, they're just like, they're right on par with each other.
Yeah, also, girl, you just hit that split. Hit it.
Bam.
Love it. I've never been able to do the splits, so I extra admire that. And you're right, you're talking about proprioception. I mean, just your ability to understand your body in space, essentially. If there was no ceiling and there was no floor and there's no gravity, where are you? What are you doing? And you certainly seem to have a really great concept on that. And I was going to say, haven't been to strip club in a really long time, but those are the ladies that get my dollar bills for sure. It's like, the ones that are out there like doing the acrobats. Yes. I'm like, that shit is impressive. Like, that is so impressive for sure. Like, I'm making it rain on the girls that are like way up there doing their tricks and like actually impressing me by being coordinated and an athlete.
I was actually so impressive. I just watched a video online
of a girl doing
a pole dancing class, and she was doing the like, what do you call it when you're like, it like looks like you're walking down as you're like coming down?
Just walking, you know,
around
the pole, and you make it look like you're, that's so cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Vanessa, you were talking about how, like, if you're like a little bit too sweaty or, you know, something's miscalculated, like, you are putting everything out there. When I watch those videos of the girls that are up super high, they like, have you ever fallen off the pole like that?
Yeah, you fall once, because you either learn or you die. Like, there's no in between. Like, you're never going to do that trick again. I remember I was actually like in a pretty famous club in Atlanta, and I was upside down like this, right? So like all of my body weight is on this hand, and I was wearing something over the palm of my hand, and I forgot to take that off of my palm. And so like as soon as I let go with my legs, I'm like, shink, straight down. I landed on like my face sideways like this, almost broke my neck, almost broke my back. I flipped backwards off of the stage, landed on my feet, and I was so badly concussed that night that I like fell asleep on a bag of ice. Like, it was
did
crazy.
You leave? Like, did you leave or did you continue working that night?
That night I did leave for sure.
Okay, thank God. But I thought you were gonna tell me you're crazy enough to still like be just get back up there on the stage.
Oh my god.
You know, I was crazy enough to go back the next night and try the exact same trick because I was so scared of it. I was so scared of that trick because what had happened. But I told myself, like, I'm not gonna let that stop me from continuing pole dancing. You know, like, I'm gonna learn how to do this the right way. And I'm not gonna be scared of it. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Guys, we are joined here by Vanessa Demopoulos from the UFC. What kind of gave you the confidence to go from exotic dancing and to fully commit to MMA? I mean, that must have been, you know, quite the battle.
I think the very first day that I was in the gym, it was a full commitment. But the way that I even got there was from pole dancing. So I was at the club and my manager at the time was talking shit to me. He was a Muay Thai instructor. And he's like, you know, if you put half that skill that you put towards the pole, towards something like fighting, you might do something with your life. And I was like, well, teach me how to fight. And he's like, absolutely not. He's like, people go to the gym to get away from people like you. I was like, listen, if you teach me how to fight, I promise I'm going to respect the gym, right? So, but the very first day that I went in there, I think he didn't want to work with me. And so he pushed me so hard that like, I almost passed out a few times, you know, I definitely threw up. And I was like, this is the hardest thing I've ever done. I was like, I'm either never going to do this again, or I'm going to go 100%, like, cause there's no in between. And yeah, I started training 3 times a day right off the rip there. You know, there was a moment I wanted to quit when I like that first day, but I was like, really, Vanessa, like, is this going to be one more thing that you tell yourself? Like, oh, I could have, if I tried, or like, I just, you know, didn't want it bad enough. Like, no, like, you're going to do this, Vanessa, you know? And I just kept telling myself that, and I did it.
So what do you do now? What else is on your like bucket list? I mean, when it comes to fighting, what do you want to do? Who do you want to be? Who do you want to fight next?
Yeah, I want to climb the rankings is what I want to do. You know, like this was my first one in the UFC. I, of course,
fight of the night bonus, got, by the way, girl, get it.
And I manifested that. Yo, that was everywhere. Like I wrote that on my whiteboard at home. Like I put it in my books. Like I wrote them on note cards and put them as my bookmarkers. Like it was on my phone. Like it was everywhere, man.
That's awesome.
Manifested that. I wanted that so bad. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Cool.
One day I wanna be the champion. One day I will be the champion, you know. But it is foolish of me to even start talking about that now, after a first win in the UFC. I want to climb the rankings, you know, I want to get busy. I want to get back in there, maybe the end of March, you know, fight on the Columbus card where I came from, and start climbing.
So that begs to question then. I mean, is there anybody in mind? Do you have anybody you'd like to fight on that Columbus card?
I don't have anyone in mind. No, I don't. I'm not. And even like, I'm still not someone who like really looks at everyone like, man, I want that. I'm not a shit talker, you know, like, but I definitely don't ever shy away from anything. I think, Ashley Yoder was supposed to be lined up with me before, Silvana stepped in. You know, it'd be great if that fight came to fruition. That'd be pretty cool. Cause that's like what my mind was set on before it happened.
Any dream fights then? I mean, anybody that you have been admiring in your weight class for a long time, and you're like, someday before this is all said and done, I would just love or be honored to fight so-and-so.
Rose, before she was the champ, you know, and I've always wanted to fight Rose, you know, and I used
Could
to
that be the most
Paige.
Adorable Paige. Fight of all time?
Oh, we're just so like, she's so
It would
cool.
be a pretty
like,
cute
she's
fight.
Like, she's a fan fave, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted to fight Weili, but then now like Weili comes over to Fight Ready. And so I got into train with Weili, and she's such a sweetheart. Yeah, and it's like, you know, I look at them and I've been watching them for a few years now, and I'm like, man, like I'd love to be where they're at, you know, and now I have an opportunity to start climbing the ranks to be there one day.
Hell yeah.
I love that.
What was your initial, like what went through your mind when like your music's playing and you walk out into the crowd for the first time? Like, did you get to take a moment to really soak that in?
Man. I felt like I lived that moment so many times, you know, cause like, I kept dreaming about it and like just closing my eyes and envisioning myself, like walking out and stepping into the cage and looking out to the crowd and seeing some familiar faces. And it's like, I literally did all of those things, you know. Did I see myself like dropping to my knees to Cardi B and like really getting after it? Like, I was trying to stay chill, to be honest. I was trying to taper it back. I just couldn't help myself though. Like, yeah, it was freaking dope, man. It was so cool, so cool.
It was, I mean, I feel like that's essentially how everyone else felt, was just like seeing you. It's so cool seeing someone doing what they love to do and just like truly loving that moment. It was really special. So you definitely earned a lot of fans on a Saturday night.
Aww. I think coolest part about that is earning the fans for me just being me, you know, like it wasn't some sort of like persona or something. Like I was my dorky, crazy, overly excited, need to calm down self. And,
and we loved it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
So great. So cool. Well, we'll let you get back to enjoying Tulum. We appreciate you taking the time to join us here on the show. Congratulations again. I hope that you have fun with that that nice fight of the night payday.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes. I appreciate you for calling. You guys are great.
Thanks.
Definitely. So have a great
Hopefully
day.
Hopefully we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
You better. All right. Bye, guys. Bye.
Throwing Down with Renee and Misha is part of the SiriusXM Podcast Network. The show is produced by Michael Russo and Kelly Murphy. Sound design by Nuree Balin. Special thanks to SiriusXM Senior Vice President of Sports Programming and Podcasting, Steve Cohen, and SiriusXM Fight Nation Program Director, Marissa Rivas.
SiriusXM Podcasts.